Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? Where is Christ revealed? You know the story. You know it well with all of its wonder and mystery. The Magi have been paying attention to the stars until one star rose out of sync with the others. Somehow they knew that this star meant that the child had been born. They just couldn't contain themselves. They had to go find this child. The distance didn't matter. They didn't even know his name. All the way to Jerusalem, they traveled asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" When they arrive in Jerusalem, they ask this question to Herod, the king of the Jews. Seriously, you choose the king of the Jews to ask where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And we call these guys wise men? They should have known better. In an instant, Herod saw his life flash before his eyes. This foretold Messiah, this shepherd of the people, he always knew it was a possibility buried somewhere deep in his subconscious, but surely not in his lifetime. He saw in that moment his crown taken forcefully from his head, some kid from a family no one's heard of sitting on his throne. All it took was one question. Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? Look what the right question can expose. So he calls upon his research experts who can give the Magi more accurate directions. You're not far off, they tell him. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Go and look for him there. And then Herod, the conniving politician that he is, transforms his fear to eager hopefulness. Go and search for the child, and when you find him, come back here and let me know so that I too can go and give him honor. Once again, the Magi depart, following the star that had guided them all along the way. When the star stopped over the place where the child was, they were overwhelmed with joy and went inside the house. Now, while most nativity scenes picture the wise men right there next to the manger with the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, Jesus was likely older, maybe even a toddler, by the time they came to meet him. Matthew alludes to this age range in the next few verses, saying that Herod acted out against all of the boys 2 years and under, based on the timeline that the Magi had given them. Now, I have no trouble imagining this star rising and moving through the sky like an ancient GPS. But as the mother of a 2-year-old, I find this encounter with the Magi and toddler Jesus to be really hard to imagine. Picture this. The Magi knock at the door. Joseph opens it, and they walk into this mostly empty living room. Jesus is across the room, standing, clinging to his mother's leg, nervous at these new people who have just walked in. But the Magi are so joyful and humbled that Joseph hasn't even got the door closed before they're laying on the ground, lying prostrate, giving honor to this toddler. Can you picture Jesus looking up at Mary? "Mommy, What are they doing? As if this isn't strange, then they bust out their presents. This whole journey, they've known they're searching for a child. But they don't bring Play-Doh or a toy sailboat, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Seriously, wise men? These are the gifts they give. I can hear Mary stumbling through her words, as parents often do, trying to articulate what we can't really explain to a child while also being polite to our guests. Jesus, these gifts are very special. Say thank you to the Magi. You can't actually touch them, though. They're just so special and valuable. This is a look, but don't touch kind of present. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. If you, like me, are newer to observing the Christian calendar, Epiphany really is that same word, as in, I heard myself say that and had an epiphany. I am my mother. Epiphany, a realization, a sudden insight, where what was previously muddy or unclear becomes crystal. Today is also January 1st, the first day of the year. And while those of us here said Happy New Year 6 weeks ago on the first Sunday of Advent, we have all kind of reminders that the rest of our culture operates on this other calendar. Vitamins and dental floss are on sale at Target. On Tuesday, your coworkers will ask you about your New Year's resolutions. And for the next few weeks, I'll have to wait in line to get on the exercise bike at the YMCA. On this Epiphany Sunday and at the beginning of this new year, you and I receive a lot of invitations. Invitations to seek. To seek to be better, to improve ourselves, to finally make that change. Listen to some of the invitations on the New York Times bestseller list. You can embrace the life-changing magic of tidying up. You can finally settle for more. Or you can jump, taking that leap of faith to achieve your life of abundance. While some of us are considering making changes or setting new goals this year through our resolutions, others aren't sure how they're going to make it through 2017. Some wonder, what will I do now that my seasonal job is over? How will I make it if my insurance doesn't cover this treatment? How will I keep going without him here? For others, this may be a season where new habits and self-discipline are essential for survival. People experience captivity to work, to food, to addiction, to material possessions. And Christ is in the business of setting people free. This may require getting help. It may mean looking inward for a time, paying attention to yourself. And that's okay. Still, the seekers in our story, the Magi, they aren't seeking some kind of self-improvement or to reach previously unattained goals. Herod is the only self-motivated character, concerned with ensuring he stays the best version of himself, the one with all the power. The Magi are seeking Christ for an end outside of themselves, to see the revealed Christ and give him honor. On this Epiphany Sunday and at the beginning of another calendar year, the Magi extend to us a different invitation. Seek epiphanies. Seek the revealed Christ. It's a whole lot more interesting to seek something outside of ourselves. For the Magi, seeking looks like following the star to find the child. But what they're really up to is paying attention and showing up. For we observed his star. They observed. They paid attention. And then the Magi followed the star. They came to see him. They showed up. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? Where is Christ revealed? Where is Christ being revealed? While I have a hard time imagining the Magi bowing down to toddler Jesus, Christ revealed in a 2-year-old? Now that I know to be possible. When I first met Deb and Ian, they were living here on campus, just up the road. Deb, a junior at the time, was living with her 3-month-old baby in an apartment in a fraternity on Central Campus. Deb told me that I could share their story with you today. The first time we were introduced, Ian was in the hospital. Ian, who was born with a rare congenital heart defect, was preparing for his second open heart surgery at Duke Hospital at 3 months old. I walked into Ian's room, seeing this small baby connected to monitors. On the table next to the bed were piles of homework, textbooks, empty coffee cups. I introduced myself to Deb, and she caught me up on what had been happening with them. Deb was taking a full load of classes at Duke, single parenting, and spending every hour that she wasn't in class at the hospital with Ian. I asked for her permission to share their situation with Refuge, the congregation that I pastor, and told her I'd be back in a couple of days to see them again. I had no idea when I left the hospital that day the number of epiphanies I would see in this small child, in his remarkably determined and faithful mother, and in the community that came around them. I went to church the next Sunday and shared that I'd met a young mom and her sick kid and that they needed some people to walk alongside them. Over the weeks that followed, I watched as Deb showed up and paid attention to Ian, day after day after day, despite all of the other things that tried to claim her attention. I saw strangers from Refuge show up, bringing her lunch or her favorite Starbucks drink, keeping her company for 20 minutes here or there. When Ian was finally out of the hospital, Deb and Ian started attending Refuge regularly. And we fell in love with this sweet little boy and his sarcastic, intelligent mom. After Ian's third open heart surgery, I remember being with he and Deb in the ICU on a terrible day. Ian, now 2 years old, wailed in pain as the medication keeping him comfortable wore off. Through my own watery eyes, I watched as Deb patiently and calmly played peekaboo with him, trying her hardest to distract him from this intense suffering. And in Ian's tears and pain, I can't explain it. Somehow he didn't suffer alone. Christ revealed in suffering. Epiphany. On the day of his baptism, Ian couldn't stay out of the water. First, there were the 6-inch deep puddles near where we were gathered for Easter service, jumping, splashing, his pants completely soaked. Then, as the font was being filled, he couldn't keep his hands out of the water. He was splashing in it, getting his shirt completely soaked. We laughed together at his eagerness to get into the water. Christ revealed in sacrament. Christ revealed in joy. Epiphany. This past Father's Day, during the announcements time at Refuge, Deb spoke up directly and concisely, as is her style. Ian has a 50% chance of living past the age of 10, she said. I've wanted him to know what it's like to have a father. I know now that if he dies, he'll have known what it's like to have a dad because he's had fathers with all of you. Christ revealed in community. Epiphany. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? If we miss the revealed Christ, if we seek and don't find, maybe we're just showing up in the wrong places and paying attention to the wrong people. Where do we even begin to seek? This is where the whole of the Nativity's cast of characters and where it takes place gives us a starting point. Who are the first to proclaim that the Messiah is coming, that he will be born? Not King Herod or Caesar, not a professor, provost, or priest, but Mary, a pregnant, unmarried junior in high school, and her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, written off by her community as past her prime. With whom do the angels share the good news? They don't announce it to social media or to the newspapers, but to a group of unplugged, unconnected migrant farming shepherds who roam from place to place without a roof over their heads. Jesus isn't born in the center of the action, in the capital with its money, education, and progress, but in the backwoods little town of Bethlehem with its one motel and single traffic light. When Jerusalem finally hears the news of Jesus' birth 2 years after the fact, it's the foreigners with accents and funny clothes that clue them in. Jerusalem's own academics and legal experts, they hadn't been paying attention. There's also the possibility that we'll miss seeing Christ because we're expecting to have epiphanies only here in Sunday worship. So we don't show up or pay attention in the rest of the hours of the week. Of course Christ is revealed here through songs of praise, through word and table, through the sharing of peace. But these practices shape us to see Christ revealed outside of these walls during the rest of the week, when the stories of Scripture come alive and we find ourselves in them, or when we're sharing dinner with a group of people that doesn't make sense, and we realize we're doing the same thing we do here at this table. One pastor puts it like this: this here, this is merely the dress rehearsal. A dress rehearsal for what happens out there in real life. You can't see the stars from in here. And the Magi didn't find Jesus in the temple, but in the house where he was staying. You and I, we can declutter our houses, eat better, or establish healthy habits this year. But the invitation from the Magi, it's an invitation to seek something different, something else besides self-improvement or goal achievement. Seek Christ, revealed in often forgotten people, in ordinary moments, in all the wrong places. Epiphany.